Ahead and get started. And again, we want to welcome those who are joining us online. We are currently in the book of Hebrews. This is November 17th, 2019. And we are currently going through the chapter 11 of Hebrews. The theme, of course, is own faith, biblical faith. It's faith we've been told that we must have and we have to embrace in order to walk the Christian life here on earth. We've also seen it's faith that pleases God. We also know that it's the righteous man that he shall live by faith. So last week, we started talking about Abraham and Sarah, his wife. And they're really a beautiful example to all of us own faith. So let's kind of review. God made a promise to Abraham. And there are several parts of this promise. One, that he was supposed to leave his land and go to a land that God was going to show him. We know that is the land of where Israel is today. He also said, also, you're going to become a mighty nice nation. In fact, you're going to be the father of many nations. And your descendants are going to be like the stars of the sky and like the sand of the seashore and the dust of the earth. And there's only one problem, was that Abraham and Sarah didn't have any children. And because Sarah was barren and they were already pretty old. Abraham, about this time, was about 75 years old. His wife was about 10 years younger, about 65. But this was the promise. They were going to have many descendants. And these descendants were going to bless all the nations and families of the world. So that was the, in kind of a real short, you know, bit of time, the promise that God gave Abraham. Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years until really it was really impossible for them to have a child, because that would make it what? 100 years old and 90 years old. But he wanted them to grow in faith, and they considered him faithful, the one who promised. We also saw that they walked this earth as aliens in a strange land, even after he had reached the land that God had told him to go to. And you might say, well, that doesn't make sense. It does it in some way until we kind of read a little bit further. But they had an attitude of, we're just passing through this earth, and what's ahead in the next age is really what life is all about. And one reason for this is that their sight was upon the city whose architect and builder is God. It's that heavenly city that God is preparing. And we're going to see that again in chapter 12. A heavenly city, a new Jerusalem. And that's really what the promise was all about. God bringing in many, many descendants over the generations. And then he's going to gather them all together, and we're going to live together in this heavenly city in the next age. Now, that doesn't mean that our attitude is, well, why am I even here on earth? I just need to kind of pass through and kind of get it over with where I can get to the next life. No, it's not that way, because while we're here on earth, God gives us a divine purpose, and that is we need to be reaching out to other people and seeing that group of descendants grow and grow and grow. Because really, it's spiritual descendants that he's talking about. So anyway, let's go with that in mind. Let's go to Hebrews 11. And today we're going to look at verses 13 through 19. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Okay, let's kind of jump into this passage. Let's go back to verse 13. Let's read it one more time. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Okay, they did not receive the promises in full. They saw it partially, but not in full. In fact, it says they even died in faith, waiting for it. But they, that's Abraham and Sarah, and by the way, Isaac, his son, and then Jacob after that, and then Joseph, and all the people coming down all the way into us, you know, they did see the promises. Maybe they didn't receive them, but they did see them at least ahead spiritually. Which, at the end of the day, what's spiritual is the most real, because it's eternal. And it says they welcome these promises from a distance. That is what Abraham and others have done over and over throughout all generations. And that's got to be our response too. We look out and we see a great harvest with men and women from every nation, tribe, language, coming to Jesus. We dream about that. We give our money and time to that. We don't allow ourselves to get discouraged or disillusioned. We dream of that glorious bride, that bride that will one day meet our bridegroom and become that new Jerusalem. We give our lives, even giving up what we could have done here on earth, for just doing our part and making this happen. And this is a corporate vision that we have, right? Actually, here is a picture here of someone who, it could be us, it could be you, but we're walking through life, aren't we? And there's a lot of beautiful things about this life. We're enjoying it. But God's given us promises, and that promise is really that heavenly city that we see. So as we go through, yes, we're doing what we need to be doing here, but we also are looking forward to that heavenly city when all the descendants of Abraham, spiritually speaking, we're all gathered together in that great city. And that's, we're seeing it from a distance. Notice also in this verse that they confessed that they were strangers and exiles here on earth. We too are strangers, exiles, aliens here on this earth. People will probably wonder about us while we're not investing our whole lives into this earth, while we're not pursuing the things that are supposed to make us happy, although we know those things don't really make us happy. They wonder about why we teach our children not to invest in this world. You know why? Because we're strangers and exiles. And we are not ashamed, it says. We're not ashamed that our city, our country, is that we see from a distance. And one day we will see it and we will live it in it, and it'll be for all of eternity. And that's what really counts. Let's go to verse 14. In fact, let's kind of read 14 through 16. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they've been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So Hebrews keeps talking about this, that we're seeking something beyond this life, a heavenly something. And that's because faith is always looking ahead. It's looking way ahead. And that's what keeps us moving here on this earth. But now it says right here, he doesn't say it's just a city. Now he calls it a country. It seems like maybe a city is too small to describe what is going to include all the descendants, all our brothers and sisters. Although, when we read the scriptures closely, we see that the New Jerusalem is going to be about 1,000 miles this way and about 1,000 miles this way. In other words, it's going to cover most of the Middle East. By the way, that's why God has such a focus on the Middle East. That's why there's so much turmoil in the Middle East right now. But there is going to be a day that we're going to be reigning. We're going to be living in that heavenly city, but we're going to be reigning really all over the earth. So yes, it's a city, but it's also much greater than just a city. It's the world. In fact, we see the city and the country, the heavenly country and the heavenly, they're being used interchangeably, aren't they? Because it's going to be big. It's going to be big. It says right here in this passage, those who say such things, that's us, make it clear they're not seeking a country of their own. We're not seeking a country in this world. They were clear on it, it says. Because if it was an earthly country, then that's where they would be. They would have returned, it says. You know, Abraham, if he was searching for a heavenly city when he got there to the promised land, he didn't see it. He would have gone home. And that's the same for us. You know, that we're not returning back to where we came from either, because our eyes are on that heavenly city. And that's why when we watch the nations crumble around us, and that's happening today, isn't it? We may be sad, but we know that all that has to happen in order for us to reach our country, our city, that heavenly one. And so as we walk this journey, we're going to see more and more of this world begin to crumble. Some of you from Nicaragua, you've seen some horrible things happen there, you know, and that's just a sign that it's going to be happening around the world, and it really is in a lot of places, you know. They were desiring a better country, a heavenly one. By the way, what's that heavenly country or a heavenly city, what it's going to be like? We don't have all the details, but we do know that righteousness and justice will reign there. And that's going to be a big difference from any of the kingdoms here. We also know that Jesus is going to be our king, and he's going to be sitting on the throne, and he's the one that's going to be reigning. We also know that we're going to have glorified bodies. In other words, when Jesus returns, we're going to get new bodies that will never get sick, never get hurt, and they'll never die. We're not going to be immortal anymore. We're not going to be mortal. We're going to be immortal. We also know that we're going to be completely sanctified. That means we're going to be living in victory. Sin is not going to rule in our life anymore at all. We're not going to get hurt at offenses. We're not going to get angry. We're not going to get grumpy, you know. We're not going to complain. We're going to love people completely. We're going to be full of joy. We're going to be completely sanctified. We also know there's going to be some responsibilities. There's going to be some work to be done, but not like work here, because in this work, in this world, work is part of the curse. So it's going to be just, it's going to be more responsibility. In fact, we're told that we're actually going to reign with Christ. So there's a lot we don't know about this next world, but we do know that it's going to be a beautiful world. It's going to be much greater and more beautiful than even this world, even before man kind of destroyed it. It's a better country that we have our eyes on. Then also in this passage, we see that God's not ashamed of us. I like that. He has prepared a city for us, it says. A country, a city, a place. Therefore, we keep moving. We keep walking on that journey, don't we? Because we know that God has something for us. And that's really one of the things that faith is keep going in the things that God's called us to. Okay, let's take a look at 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "And Isaac, your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Okay, this is a story found in Genesis 22. You can look at it again another place. But in Genesis 21, Isaac, the son they've been waiting for, is finally born. And in that same chapter, God says, you know, it's through Isaac your descendants will be named. He's the one that's going to get it all started, all these descendants. But then something in the next chapter happens that I'm sure had Abraham scratching his head. Well, wait a minute, Lord, what are you doing? Because God speaks to Abraham and he says, take your son, your only son, and go to the land of Moriah. And so they go to the land of Moriah, to the top of a hill, and Abraham starts to make an altar. And by the way, coming up the hill, it's kind of interesting because he has Isaac carry the wood for the offering on his back. And so when they get up there, he puts it up there. Isaac says, well, where's the offering? And of course, he didn't realize that he was going to be the offering, you know. But Abraham replied saying, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. So he ties Isaac to it and is getting ready to offer him as a sacrifice. And then God says, no, stop it. You know, that's not what I want you to do. And then they look around, and guess what? In the thickets, there's a lamb that's kind of stuck in it. So they get that and place it on the altar, and they sacrifice that. And in verse 14, it says, we'll kind of read it. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. In fact, he called it Jehovah Jireh, which in Hebrew means the Lord will provide. So we see that Abraham was tested here. In fact, Genesis 22, verse 1, it says, God tested Abraham. Here in verse 17 in Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, test, prove, or expose our true motivations. Will we follow and obey no matter what the cost? You see, in this journey of faith, we all will be tested. in this journey of faith. We'll all be tested. Now, all of us, we love the seasons of fruitfulness, don't we? But tests are important milestones on the road to greater fruitfulness. And so we will have tests in this journey of faith. We've got to see this. Otherwise, we will not, we'll lose heart in our journey and decide to quit. In fact, too many people, too many Christians today, when there's tests in their life, they quit. And part of that is because maybe they've been confused with some bad teaching that kind of says there's not going to be any test, but there will be some tests. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. And Abraham had a very important test here. Now, we also see here, like in verse 19, that Abraham believed that if Isaac had died, then God was able to raise him from the dead. That's faith. Because, see, we knew that God had already said it was going to be in Isaac that your descendants will be named. So it had to come through Isaac. So if he dies, Abraham figured, well, I guess God will just resurrect him from the dead again. And that's faith. That's because Abraham's confidence was in God who made these promises that this great nation would one day be living together in this heavenly city. And he knew that God was going to perform was faithful, and that he was going to do what he said, even when he didn't understand it. And we too, a lot of times, the tests that come our way are when we don't understand. There'll be times when we don't understand. And our response, we keep moving forward. I think, okay, here, sometimes that journey is going to look like that, isn't it? We're not going to see much. And it seems like, wait a minute, am I going in circles? It seems like I'm kind of getting in deeper and deeper. It seems like everything's kind of grabbing us and pulling us back. Sometimes it's not this way. It could be another way. Let's kind of see. Sometimes it looks like, wow, it's a desert. And wait a minute. I don't see anything. I don't see any heavenly city up there. But faith is we keep going, even if we're in the swamp, even if we're in the desert, because that's what faith is. We keep going forward. Our tests, just like Abraham's, are really tests of whether we believe God is faithful and whether we believe that God will fulfill his promises, whether he's able to do them. But we got to remember that his promises are always about him and his glory. It's not about what I want. It's not about what makes me feel or look good. Do we understand that? Because there are some in the body of Christ promoting faith that's something that's very me-centered. And that's a gross distortion of biblical faith. True faith is about his glory. And that's what was with Abraham. Abraham was willing, listen, it's not about me. Yes, I want to have a son, but I offer him back to you. But he also saw that Isaac was part of the bigger picture of what God wanted to do. Verse 19. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. You know what a type is? It's a picture of something that's not real, but it represents a real. Actually, one English word, and I think it's in Spanish too, is prototype. If you're getting ready to build a big building, it may be that you make a model of it first to see, okay, that's what it's going to look like. But of course, it's not the real thing, is it? And it's something temporary. Until the real thing comes. Well, and the Bible is filled with types. For example, the tabernacle or the temple in the Old Testament is a type of the body of Christ, because we are the temple. And they're often types of Jesus. And here, the writer of Hebrews is saying, this story about Isaac and Abraham is a type of what God was going to do almost 2,000 years later, when Jesus went to the cross. Let's take a look at this. Abraham had a beloved son, his only son, that he offered before God. That sounds like what? Heavenly Father with Jesus, right? And actually, if you read Genesis 22, they walked for, and they arrived at Mount Moriah on the third day, which I think is kind of interesting. Also, Abraham had Isaac carry the wood on his back going up to the mountain. Also, Mount Moriah, a lot of people don't realize this, but it was the exact place where Jesus died for us, in Jerusalem. And of course, at that time, there was no Jerusalem. It was just a barren place called Mount Moriah. And think about that. Of all the places on earth that Abraham would be there to sacrifice his son, it happened to be in the exact place where God offered his son for us. Also, in Genesis 22, a lamb was provided, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And of course, we know Jesus is called what? The Lamb of God that was sacrificed for us. We also see that in Isaac, it was going to be through Isaac that there would be many descendants. And we know through Jesus, there's many descendants, the spiritual descendants. It's almost like the promise of Isaac and the promise of Jesus, they came together. And Jesus made them spiritual descendants. You know? And now, with Jesus, many descendants can enter into the kingdom of God. They can reach that better country. They can enter into the true city. By the way, it says that Abraham believed that if necessary, God was going to resurrect him. And I used to kind of think, oh, that would have been really cool if Isaac had actually died and then kind of come back to life. But I think God did it for a purpose. I think he stopped Abraham because he didn't want to take away from the great sacrifice and the great resurrection that Jesus was going to do. They would come about 1,800 years later. Okay, so let's do this. We've talked a lot about faith. I just want us here at the end just kind of review what have we said about faith so far. We've said a lot, and that's because faith cannot just be described in one sentence or two sentences. That's why we've been going through chapter 10. We've been looking, you know, we're already in 19 verses into chapter 11, and there's a lot more. But let's just, so far, what have we learned about faith? And if I mention one of these, you say, well, I don't remember that. I encourage you to go back, listen again, and study it again, listen to the podcast or whatever. Faith means not throwing away our confidence. We saw that in Hebrews 10. Faith includes confidence primarily to approach God. And we're told in Hebrews 10, it has a great reward. So faith and confidence are tied together. Faith also requires endurance. You know, it requires keep going. In fact, in Hebrews 10, again, it's tied to the It says it's tied to the will of God. Endurance is God's will for us. And I think we can kind of see, you know, there's times in this journey we need to have endurance, right? We need to kind of keep going even if we can't see. That's the way faith is. Faith is also the conviction of things not seen. We walk by faith, not by sight. Many times in this journey of faith, we don't see what's ahead, like in that just picture we just saw. You know, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And we've been told already back in Hebrews 6 that hope is the anchor of our soul. It takes us beyond the veil. And so faith is that assurance. Faith is doing the right thing no matter what the cost. We saw that, the examples of Abel and Enoch and Noah. We don't know anything that they said. You know, we don't know of any great acts that they did. Noah, he built the ark, but they just did the right thing even when they didn't understand. We also see that faith is required to please God. In fact, without faith, we cannot please God. And we see that in verse 6 of Hebrews 11. Faith, and this is important, is our response to a calling we hear from God. In other words, like Abraham, when God calls, we respond by faith. You know, we don't kind of try to analyze it. We don't try to say, well, that's kind of an interesting thought, God. That's an interesting suggestion. No, it's not. When God calls us, it's not a suggestion. It's a calling. He says, come with me. Follow me. And that brings us to the next one. Faith means obeying. Even when we don't understand or don't even know where we're going. Like Abraham. Remember Abraham, it says up here in verse 8, that he obeyed going to a land and he didn't even know where he was going. I don't know about you, but I'm okay to follow Jesus if I know where I'm going. But that's not the way it works always. He just says, follow me, and I'll tell you when we get there. I'll guide you step by step. That's the journey of faith. And by the way, you might say, I don't know whether I want that journey. It's the most beautiful walk you'll ever have, because that's the walk of faith, is where you get the joy and the peace. Faith means living as an alien here on earth. As it kind of says, we will live in tents. That means we don't put down roots into the values and the priorities of this world. We don't play their games, you know, because our eyes are on something else. In fact, that's the next thing. Faith is really looking for that city whose architect and builder is God. It's a heavenly city. And that's why, you know, every one of these illustrations, what do they see? I mean, they're working, they're kind of continuing their purpose here on earth, but all three of them, they've got that heavenly city. That's their focus. That's the only way, brothers and sisters, we'll be able to walk in this journey of life, especially when we go through the swamps. Faith is knowing the real fulfillment of the promises come at the very end of this age. And therefore, we're content to do our part here. In fact, remember we looked at Hebrews 12:1, a sneak, where we saw this cloud of witnesses of everyone who's gone before us. And we've kind of described our journey of faith as like a big relay race. Every generation gets the baton, they run, and then they give it to the next generation. So the fulfillment of promises isn't just about what happens in our lifetime, but they're tied to the purposes of God in this age. So faith is knowing that we have that cloud of witnesses watching us, those who walked in faith before us. And the picture we gave is they're up there in the grandstands cheering. We may not hear them, but they are. They're kind of saying, come on, let's go, let's go. You know, come on, Alejandro, pick it up. And all of us, because we do know that they recognize us. I don't know how it happens exactly, but it's something like that. And we also said that just like in a ball game, at the very end, when it starts getting close, what happens? Are people just sitting around? No. My guess is that David and Abraham and Sarah and all of them, they're standing up now. because they see that this age is about to wrap up. Because see, they're still waiting for that heavenly city. It's not there for them yet either. We have to finish our race before they have their city and we have our city. Okay, so faith is considering him who promised to be faithful to do what he has promised, like Sarah and so many others. Things looked impossible, but they considered him faithful, the one who promised. Faith is seeing the promises from a distance. To those who have faith, it doesn't matter if they're in the distance, because we welcome with arms what we do see. Faith means that we don't return to where we came from. That's what we kind of read about today. We may feel like it, but we keep our eyes ahead. Remember, Jesus kind of said, the one who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back, he's not worthy of the kingdom of God. So we've got our hand on the plow, but we're not looking back, kind of deciding, are we going to go back? No, we've made that decision. We are going forward. We don't understand exactly where we're going. We do see the promise. And that promise is many, many descendants worshiping Jesus. We're all living together in a great city. But we also know that his house is not filled yet. And so we have the responsibility of proclaiming the good news. Faith, this is a big one we talked about, involves test. Test the motivation. Test of whether or not we believe God is faithful and whether God is able to fulfill his promises. We're going to go through tests. Faith means we keep moving forward in the things that God has called us. And in the next 3 or 4 weeks, we'll talk more about faith. Faith is pretty big, isn't it? The question for us, are we embracing the walk of faith? Or are we just kind of, well, I go to church on Sunday. No, that's not the question. Are you embracing the walk of faith? It's the righteous that should live by faith. Maybe we need to ask this question. Are you facing a test right now, like Abraham? Often, the test really reveals, are we going to keep going or not? Or are we going to go back? So I want us to pray. And God is calling us to this walk of faith. And I want to ask you, can you make that commitment to take that journey of faith? Maybe you need to renew that commitment. Perhaps you didn't fully understand when you gave your life to the Lord what this was all about. Now you're beginning to see, wow, it involves test. Huh. It involves seeing the promises from a distance. It means living as an alien on this earth. It means obeying even when I don't even know where I'm going. Yes, but it also means joy and peace and being able to live in that heavenly city one day. I want us to pray. And I really believe that for many of us, there's a this is a day that we need to renew our commitment to walk a journey of faith. Let's do that. And I'm just going to let everyone kind of just take this before the Lord, just a minute or so. Tell the Lord right now, Lord, even though I don't understand, I want to walk with you. I want to follow you. That's the essence of faith, is moving forward. Lord, I don't understand. Sometimes I don't even feel like it. But Lord, I want to walk that walk of faith. I want to walk as an alien. I want to obey even if I don't understand. I'm not going to return to where I came from. Lord, if there's test involved, that's okay. Lord, we desire to be a church. We desire to be men and women and young people who are walking that walk of faith. Lord, we thank you for what you're teaching us. We ask, Lord, that you continue to do that. Lord, we confess to you that we are very weak. There's a lot of things we don't understand. Sometimes, Lord, we feel like giving up. But Lord, we also know that in this walk of faith, that you've promised to walk with us, and you'll hold our hand, and you'll carry us in the places that we feel like giving up. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.